So I'm excited to welcome our eChurch to Church this morning. Father Sazwin, please welcome everybody who joins us via live stream. So good to have you. Please comment on the chat section where you're viewing us from, which part of the world, and let us be in contact with you so we can connect and get to know you a little. And there's an option for you to be able to do that, and there's somebody in production who actually responds to that. So there's a whole lot going on. Amen. So mind games. I'm told that last Sunday night, class, who's our young adults pastor, they're launching Alpha on campus pretty soon. So if you've got friends at university, you might want to recommend that. Follow the Instagram page to find out details. But he said to me after the evening service, he said, I think you were gentle in the morning, but I think at night I chased after some things. I mean, well, Mind Games is a series devoted to this fundamental idea that it is possible to be completely healed and saved in our spirit, but have still got some work to do in our minds. And that sometimes it's the stuff going on in our minds that God wants to transform so that it comes into alignment with the reality of our spirit. And Mind Games is a series devoted to this idea that you should not suffer unnecessarily if Jesus has already set you free. I don't want for you to spend the rest of your life battling something in your mind or even in your heart. This is an interesting conversation. Or even in your heart when Christ has given you the tools to walk in freedom. It's a cruel thing to teach people that there is a heaven and then delay the possibility of that peace for the rest of their lives. It's a cruel thing to suggest to people that your best days come after you die, when Jesus came to fast forward the benefits of kingdom into our lives today. And we don't want to create a tension in which it is the unreachable thing that you have to wait until you're dead to get there. That's not the kingdom we understand. The very prayer that Jesus taught us to pray was that his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You can live in peace here, not perfection. I mean, not perfection. Can we just agree to that? Just nudge your partner and say, not perfection of yourself. No, don't say that to your partner. Even say to your partner, you're a perfect person. Not perfection, but peace certainly. And I wanted to spend a couple of weeks, I've got one more week on this topic, a couple of weeks helping us align our minds to God's plan. And it's hopefully you're discovering not the hardest thing in the world. I think there's been a lie taught us that we almost can't help ourselves, that our mind is a complicated place, that the will of God is a complicated thing, and that to get it right is a series of mistakes and errors, and it might never happen. I hope that over this conversation, you've come to realize those first few principles I shared with you, because this week and next week, I want to ask you to make the shift in your head, and I'll show you what I mean. I hope the first two principles are rooted in you. The first one being that Jesus is the clever one in our relationship. You need to establish it. It's the principle of sovereignty, that he is king and lord. And if you get that principle right, you don't establish yourself as equals, but you establish yourself as Christ is Lord, and I am surrendered gladly to his lordship. If you can start out with that principle, already you're making good strides towards the idea of being free in your heart and in your head. The Bible says we should love the Lord our God with all our hearts, mind, soul, and strength. The mind must be involved in loving God. In fact, sometimes I think Christianity made a terrible mistake by loving God with all our hearts, but none of our minds. So very enthusiastic people, but not always smart about the way we did things. Can we just say, not of us, but you know people, like you know other people, like. But sometimes we haven't been smart about it. But enthusiastic, passion, nothing wrong. I've looked at so many Christians. I've been one of those Christians where you would have to say their heart is in the right place. How many of you know when someone says their heart is in the right place, it's not a compliment? How many of you know what I mean? It's like, they're sweet people. Their heart is in the right place. What they mean is, you just did something really silly, but oh, shame, you're such a nice person. That's really what they're saying. Now I've destroyed that phrase, haven't I? Your heart can be in the right place, but so must your mind. Your mind must also be there. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. The reason why the mind was brought up in that verse is that where the devil growls is in your mind. That's why you have to be sober-minded. We talked about Christ being the clever one in our relationships. Last week, we talked about the idea that the will of God is not a mystery. Don't let people tell you that it's too complicated to figure out what God wants. He wrote a book called the Bible so that we would get to know his will. It's not mysterious. The mystery of the ages has been revealed through Jesus Christ. So this idea that Christianity is like higher grade and you've got to be Greek. There I've undone 5 years of preaching in one sentence. Is not true. The Bible is not. What's complicated is our ability to connect with it. But the Bible itself is not complicated. The will of God is not complicated. And I wanted for us to reinforce that idea, because if you don't do that, then you think you're on an ever-learning journey, you know? You're learning so much about who God is, but his will has been made known to us. It can be known. Today, I want to talk to you about the third principle on how to make a mind shift in your life. And if you get this principle, I don't want to sound like a TV evangelist, although there are so many good ones, and I have a feeling in my bones I'm going to be one day. So I have to be very careful what I say. I don't want to sound like, if you do this one thing, then your whole life will change. And but if you do this one thing, where's the camera? If you do this one thing, your life will change. I can't believe I used to be so scared of those things. So now I'm like, eh. Spiritual mind issues can be defined as one simple thing. It's called a stronghold. It is a thing you hold to be true in your mind that is not biblical. It's called a stronghold. It is a wall around an idea that you won't let people touch. So you put a belief there, and then you mentally close it off. That's called a stronghold. And he came to destroy strongholds. This is very important, because if I can't get to your belief, if you believe all men are terrible and you have enclosed that mentally with a stronghold of evidence like experiences, then I can tell you about the goodness of God, but your belief is stuck behind a wall called a stronghold. And this is something that's really incredibly important. I learned this principle years ago when somebody taught me about this. And it actually had to do with church. Oh, by the way, we're putting up walls on the sides, and we're going to take it all the way up and then put some lights on there just for the safety, guys. So just so you know, no more unknown steps to take. We are getting there. I promised I'd say something about that. Here's the lesson that I learned about this idea that's so fundamentally important about a belief system. And this is the principle that the devil gets into our hearts and heads that's wrong. Everything you need to grow into the person God has intended, you already have. You're not waiting for something, you're being robbed from something. You absolutely must get this right. Here's what I mean. The Bible says the devil's only ability is to steal, kill, and destroy. So all he can do is take something from you already have. Most Christians get that back to front. They think, I don't have willpower. No, you do. You're just being robbed from it. You've got something going on in your heart you need to get out so that your willpower that you already have will activate. This idea is huge. So I'll tell you how I learned it. It's my world, so your world might be a little different. But I read a book years ago. I can't even remember the author. I can. C. Peter Wagner was the author, and he wrote a book about reasons why a church should grow. And this was his fundamental premise. His fundamental premise is the following, that a church is a living thing because God is a living God. You should never ask yourself as a pastor, what must I do to make my church grow? You should always ask yourself, what is stopping my church from growing? Well, that doesn't sound like a big shift. It's a huge shift. Because instead of thinking of clever ways to get a church to grow, I start thinking about what's the reason why it's not. I start thinking about, is my mind and mindset too narrow? Have I decided that in PE, churches don't grow big? And then built a wall around it by saying, look at the sizes of the churches in our city. Have I decided that PE has a certain income level and can't sustain a church past a certain ability? And then built a wall around that and called it a stronghold. Now I can pray all I want, but my mind is made up and my mind is wrong. So I have to break the walls down that prevent. Instead of thinking about how do I grow something, I think about what's stopping. So guess what was one of the things that was stopping this church from growing? Space. Oh, I loved Stanley Street so much. It was beautiful. I could almost scratch the balcony. We would have 3 services in the morning and walk over for sushi. We were living the life. Everybody on the street knew us until they hated us. And then we would walk back and do 2 more services. We'd be there all day. And then God, and I'm being deliberate about my phraseology here, God started stirring up trouble with the neighbors. No, it was God. No, it was God. Let me tell you, no, it was God. They don't know it. They were used by God. I said so to a certain hairstylist the other day. I said, God used you. Because I was so comfortable here that God had to make it uncomfortable for me to break my stronghold so that I would start to look elsewhere. I got together with some estate agents. I said, this is what we need. We need a big building. It's got to have thousands of square meters. It's got to have lots of parking. It's got to be easily accessible. They said, well, there's really only one building in the city that's going to meet that requirement right now. I said, which one? They brought me here. I said, you're joking. There was water running down a wall on which the DB was on, the distribution board, electrical board. Vince will remember, we had to use a stick and then stand on an island of dry ground and then sort of push up the, so we could get some lights on. I said, really? There were pigeons that lived here. They still do. He said, so this is the only one. You've got a huge parking lot. It's going to have to be here. And God caused discomfort in something in order to break my mindset. Then I started talking to some people in PE. I had no idea you people were so afraid of North End. People said they hear gunshots in North End. No, but hang on, you're laughing, but you had no problem coming to rugby. Grab on. No. You'll come to rugby at 7 p.m. and go to your car at 9:45 and smile about it, but church on Sunday morning at 9 in North End? Oh, Lord, what is going on with this Greek brain of yours? We had strongholds and mindsets and stuff going on because we put a belief and then we built a wall around it, and not even God can get through that wall because you're blocking him. You have to take the wall down and let Jesus wash it away. You can give people advice. You can be logical. You can show them over and over again about something. If you have made up your mind and built a stronghold around it, nothing's going to change. You need to destroy this idea that I'm waiting for God to give me something. I need more strength, more power, more wisdom, more something. In fact, this verse is not on the screen, but I'm going to just, can I do it old school and find it in the actual Bible? Just give me a, can I do that? 1 second. This is one of my favorite. Someone's going hallelujah because they're like so excited that a Bible is being. I actually have it highlighted. It's like the only thing on this. Remember the days of highlighting? It's okay if you're not highlighting your Bible as long as you're highlighting your life. 2 Peter 1. Okay. We've got evening service vibe in the morning. 2 Peter 1:3 is the text. It says, His divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and living godly through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. That verse says, you've already got it all. All that you need. You need to stop the devil from robbing you of what you've got. So today, make a decision that if you have got no joy, something's stealing your joy. Don't always pray more joy. Start looking into life and going, what's robbing me of my joy? If you're in a relationship other than a marriage, okay, if you're in a marriage relationship, both of you need to have strongholds broken. But if you're in a relationship and every time you're together, you walk away depressed, just... Is that a bit cruel? Let me just explain to you. Pray first, drive out demons second, but if none of that works and you're not married, walk away. Life is short to be preoccupied with carrying your strongholds and now picking up somebody else's. And the two of you now have the one thing in common, you both have the same stronghold. That's not what we mean when we say have things in common. I don't mean one depressed person find another depressed person. Ah, we have something in common. No, no. Sometimes I look at couples, I just want to go over to them and advise them. It's like, can I help you? The thing that is holding you together is your equal weakness. That is not, what 1 Corinthians 3 gives us some principles on how to shift a stronghold. 1 Corinthians 3:6-10, I think I saw it there. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Now he who plants and he who waters are one. And each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers and you're God's field, you're God's building. According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I've laid the foundation and another builds on it. But let each one take heed or be careful how he builds on it. This is the idea that is so powerful about the scripture, the partnership between what you do and what God does. The partnership. Here's what this verse says. One man plants, another man waters, God gives the increase. God will always do his part. This morning, I'm going to ask you to do some planting and some watering. Because if you'll do that in your mind and in your heart, the increase will come from God. What a lot of believers seem to misunderstand is this idea that God must interrupt me and do what he wants. He's not going to do that. God is cooperating with you to get done what he wants. Do you remember the story of the woman at the well? Jesus said, "Give me some water to drink." And in a few sentences later, he said, "I'll give you living water. You give me a little of what you got, and I'll give you more water than you can handle." You got to give a little towards your own destiny. This is not a money thing. It's not a money thing. It might be for some of you if that's your stronghold. Some of you put your wallet there. Problem is, can't get anything out, but he can't get anything in it either. I'll just let that rest for a bit. Just pause for effect. That's the problem with can't get it out, then he can't. No, it's not that. You have to come with something to put in the ground, a process in your heart. So you must be the steward of your mindset. You have to close the door on things that are robbing you. And you have to open the door to things that refresh you. You hold the key to that. And it's such a fundamental principle. It'll radically change your life. Our whole idea, my whole journey with God on church and church life came from the realization, God, it is God's will for you to grow. It is God's will. God gives the increase. Your business, it is God's will for your business to grow. We don't have to pray about it even. It is God's will. Your personal life, it is God's will for it to grow. Now you must say, what's robbing me? Where's the where's the roaring lion devil coming and taking stuff from me? Because now he's got my attention. You mean to tell me I have everything already, but somebody else is preoccupying it? Isn't that amazing? I heard a message the other day. How am I doing on time? I heard a message the other day that shocked me into action. This preacher was saying, while you're immature in your mind, God can't bless you with the things he has prepared for you. So others will be custodians of them until you're ready to receive them. Made me wake up. I want to encourage you today to come with your preparation. The Bible talks about 10 virgins who were waiting on a man to return. It's a parable of the 10 virgins. 5 brought extra oil, 5 didn't. At midnight, the oil ran out for the 5 that didn't bring extra, and the others had enough. You've got to bring a little extra to the process of your mind so that you can live in the destiny that God has in mind. Mind maintenance, I guess the topic for the day, is not about God performing surgery in your brain. Mind maintenance is about you keeping weeds out so that the seeds that God has put there will grow to fruition. Stop believing that you lack something and God must deliver it by some mysterious, miraculous way. Start believing that God has given you by his Spirit all that you need for life and godliness as per 2 Peter 1:3. His divine power has given us all we need. Start believing that and then begin to ask yourself, what are the leaks in my spiritual journey? What are the thieves in my spiritual journey? Please never look at a friend and go, you're a leak and a thief. Don't. Maybe a drip, but not a leak. No. You don't want to ever do that. But you want to know in your heart what you're closing and what you're opening to. Because that's what's going to put your mind in the right place. Listen to me. Some of you here today, you're praying against stuff you should just stop doing. Stop praying against it because the implication is it's out there. Just stop. Just in Jesus' name. Oh, feeling very TV evangelist-y today. Just stop. Be set free. John 4:7 said, the woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to give me a drink, for his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. And then the woman of Samaria said to him, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink of me, a Samaritan? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who was saying to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Here's the thing about this story that is so powerful. She had questions, but he had solutions. And he says to her, you can either keep asking other questions or you can just ask me to refresh your soul. I want to encourage you today. You may have questions, but why don't you rather let him refresh your soul? You're not going to get the answers to all the questions, but you can have refreshing for every situation. There's no point in trying to make sure you have everything answered before you step out in faith. Trust God, even leaving some questions unanswered. 3 very quick, simple principles. I have a few minutes. Firstly, in being a good planter and waterer of things for the future, there has to be some preparing and some digging. There has to be some preparing and some digging. Good ground is determined by our ability to get rid of the rocks and put in their nourishment. Today, maybe the reason why your mind is all shook up the way that it is you've got some stumbling blocks in your mind and you've had lack of nourishment in your soul. We sort that out today after the service in prayer. You've got to clear the stumbling blocks out of your mind. You can't keep tripping over the same thing over and over again. I watched somebody about 3 weeks ago text me. They were texting me asking for advice about why, whenever they're in business relationships or whatever, it always goes wrong. And so we were trying to navigate this discussion. Then they texted me, and I was in a meeting. And the first text said, "How can you chat quick?" I was in a meeting, so I don't give my number out. "Are you there?" I don't have the blue text thing because then otherwise the people go, "You saw and then you didn't," and then. And then after a while, "Don't you want to talk to me?" Followed by, "I'm so disappointed that you've taken this view." Followed by, "I poured out my heart to you, and this is how you treat me." Followed by, "Actually, never mind. This is what I expect from pastors." All of that in like 9 minutes. I screenshot the conversation and I got out of my meeting and sent it back and said, "Here's the answer to why your business relationships keep breaking down. You got obsessive problems. Let's break it and set it free. I'm not angry with you, but now we know. Because it can be known what is the obstacle. It's not a mystery. It can be known. Break it in Jesus' name." And if someone doesn't answer in 9 minutes, not the end of the world, it's just 9 minutes. There's a stumbling block. Let Christ set you free. Secondly, planting and burying. Do you know that planting a seed looks very much like burying something? The difference is when you plant a seed, it sprouts to righteousness. When you bury something, nothing comes from it. What I want to encourage you concerning your mind is that there are some things you've got to bury and some things you've got to plant. You just got to bury some stuff. That stronghold will keep growing if you don't set some things aside and just bury them. Let them go. Today is a day of letting some things go, because they preoccupy your mind and they become strongholds. If you're still waking up in the morning thinking to yourself, "I can't believe they did that to me. I can't believe they said that to me. I can't believe this is how it happened." I want you to know that's not going to help your mind being right before God. In fact, as you get a little older and a little grayer, you're going to discover, I thank God for the people who put me under pressure. I thank God for the neighborhood that kicked me out of Stanley Street. I mean, I say that dramatically, and in the book it'll sound like a martyr, but I thank God for that, because if they hadn't pushed me out, I wouldn't have found my next place. You might need to thank God for the person who walked away out of your life. You might need to thank God for the boyfriend who said, "I'm not interested any longer," or the girlfriend who said, "We're going on different paths." You might one day thank them, because if they hadn't done that, you might have been stuck in some other place, in some other situation, or in some other solution. But the hand of God moved you to another destination, moved you to another plan. Step out in faith and confidence in God. Planting can sometimes look like burying. But it's okay. Those of you who are gardeners, I kind of like a garden. Haven't had opportunity for one since it's drought. But you will know that in August you should have pruned stuff, right? Or some of you are going to rush home now and prune your roses. You're almost late. You're late. Your trees should have been pruned early August, and your roses about middle of August. I don't know if you've ever seen what a tree looks like after it's been pruned. It looks bushy and fluffy before. It's 3 or 4 stalks afterwards. Maybe you're in the 3 or 4 stalks phase right now. Have confidence that pruning happens before spring. Have confidence that God has a plan, that pruning and testing are part of the process of what God has in mind. That cleaning your mind out includes chopping some things away and letting them fall to the ground. Don't hold on to certain dreams you want that God has already moved from. Reach out your hand for something bigger, something stronger, something brighter. Finally, you've got to water your mind. The Word of God is a powerful thing. But here's something I need to conclude with. I've got 4 minutes. The man who sows and the man who waters is 2 different people. And that seems arbitrary, but it's not. In fact, the Bible goes on to say the 2 are like one. Have people in your life who will pour water of encouragement onto the seed of your intentions. You can't just water your own mind. You need other people with gifts from God to speak into your life and bring life to the things that are going on in your head. The Bible says we should partner really carefully with people, because the right partners can set your mind free and the wrong partners can bind your mind. I don't know if you've ever had a wrong kind of partner in your life. Not just a relationship partner, but wrong kinds of relationships. Binding your mind down or reinforcing your strongholds. I've often shared this. If you're divorced, don't just hang out with divorced people. Don't just sit around a table and all agree that marriage is evil. Because those people are reinforcing in your mind a stronghold that has to be broken so that somebody else can enter into your life. Hang out with some healthy marriages. People often quiz me about being single, other pastors. I tell them, it's okay to be single so long as you're not single and bitter. It's okay to be married so long as you're not married and bitter. We're not that different. I got to have maintenance in my heart, and so do you. But if some pastor is single and he's getting up here and ripping off marriages as a ball and chain thing and whatever, you need to sort out your heart. Because that's not healthy. But by the same token, if some pastor gets up here and he's married and he's ripping off single people, I'm coming for you. Methinks he doth protest too much. You know, sometimes people reveal their inner intentions by attacking it. Don't do that. Have people in your life that bring strength. I want to encourage you today, just as we close, break strongholds in your mind. Eliminate the lie that you still need something in order to live in a certain way. Accept rather that you have all that you need for living divine and godly lives. And start asking yourself, what's robbing me? And if I'm being robbed, I want to get rid of that. You have enough willpower, you do. You have enough resource, you do. All you got to do is stop being robbed by the wrong things. I mean, can I? One last one, can I? One last. Whenever people tell me I don't have, almost every time an evaluation will reveal you do, it's just misplaced. I used to have that attitude. I was a pastor from a young age. I was 19 when I was ordained as a pastor. I had this mindset that my giving financially is actually in my time. I give God my time. I used to say to people, I don't have enough to do other stuff. I remember when we went through our difficult time in figuring out our finances, and this businessman said to me, I'm going to interview him soon, by the way. I want you to learn some of those principles. He said to me, how much are you giving? I said, are you joking? I said, I'm giving 20 years of my life. He said, no. Financially. I said, no, I'm not in the place where I can. He said, I bet you are. I said, how many McDonald's do you eat? You know? I said, none of your business in Jesus' name. Get thee behind me, Satan, you roaring like a lion here. Do you know what he was saying? If you just cut it off from something else, you would certainly be able, you would, yes, you would. You're just being robbed. And he went deep that day. He said, you know what you're doing right now, right? You're honoring McDonald's. I'm stopping. I can't. I'm chickening out, but tonight, come tonight, I'm going to be brave. It doesn't mean, when couples say to me, oh, you know, the world we live in, sort of sexual purity thing before marriage, that's not realistic. Yes, it is. You're just being robbed. Leave the door open, your life, say to the devil, come take the future of my marriage. No. You got to walk right up to him, look him in the eye and say, I will deal with you if you cross this line. I will deal with you. Not just for me, but for my future wife, for my children, and their wives. We draw a line. You come and rob me, I'm going to chase you down. Don't be robbed. That's the principle. Your mind is available to God. Don't make it available to other things too. Could you stand so we would pray? Thank you. Thank you so much. The connections group are exiting now and the coffee shop. But would you, the rest of you, give me a minute, please? I'd love to pray with you just concerning an opportunity to be free. We don't know what to call that room anymore. The Dream Team Lounge, the Welcome Lounge, the whatever lounge, is out at Entrance 3. I'm going to be there in a minute or two. And if you've been visiting for a week or two or three or five and haven't popped in there, please would you brave it to just come say hello? Just love to meet you and give you some info if you want it and coffee if you want it. No obligation. Just a nice way to shake hands and say hello. Let's pray. Thank you, Marilise. Lord, we thank you so much that you came to set the captives free. That one day our bodies will be renewed on the resurrection. Thank you that our spirits are completely renewed by our salvation. But our mind is being renewed by the transforming of the mind. And today we pray that you will teach us this principle that we have all we need for godly lives. We determine today not to be robbed by anything, not offense, not insecurity, not unrighteousness, not a lying spirit from the devil, and no strongholds that will prevent us from growing. You have called us to grow. You're living, and our faith is living. You're the God of the living. We thank you for that. And today we cut off and prune and bury everything that is unfruitful and every seed that might grow. And we determine to have people in our lives and a plan in our lives that will water those seeds. And you will give increase because you're a God who gives generously and holds nothing back according to the book of James. We honor you and thank you for it. If anybody in this house today is ready to make a commitment to Jesus, you're ready to say, I want to be a follower of Jesus Christ, not just a considerer of or an investigator of or a researcher of, but a follower. If you're in this place today and you're making that mental shift, you're changing your mind about something and you're moving in another direction, you're ready to surrender and say, Lord, would you take my life? Just while everyone's eyes are closed, I don't often get to this moment in a service, but today I feel quite strongly I should. If that's the space you're in, I'd love to pray for you just where you are. All I'll do is invite you to stick your hand up so I can see where you are, and we'll pray a prayer. If that's the place you're in, would you just raise your hand long enough for me to see it? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Thank you everywhere. Church, could we pray this prayer out loud together? It'll be a sentence or two. If you'd like to, please come to the front. Let us know you've made a decision or a commitment. If you don't have a Bible, we've got some free Bibles we'd love to give you after the service. Church, could we pray this prayer out loud in support of those who raise their hands? If you raise your hands, please join us. But the rest of the church will also pray so you are not left in an awkward moment. We will support you. Let's pray. Please follow after me. Lord Jesus, I accept today that you died to save me. Please forgive me for ignoring you, sinning against you, doing my own thing. Come into my life as my Lord and my Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you give God a shout of praise and thanksgiving for that?
Thank you for listening to another Father's House podcast. For any more information, please visit our website at www.fathershousesa.org or connect with us on any one of our social media platforms.